Father, we do praise you that you are forgiving and gracious. Teach us more about your forgiveness, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do be seated. Well, what they did was absolutely unforgivable. After what they've done, I will never be able to forgive. I wonder if we've heard people say things like that, or maybe more pointedly, I wonder if we've ever felt like that. Or maybe even more pointedly, I wonder, even today, is there someone that, well, we find it very hard to forgive? And by very hard, we mean impossible. That's the issue this morning. Jesus addressing forgiveness in our installment for Matthew's Gospel. Page 992, we're in Matthew 18. 993, and we're picking it up at verse 21. Then Peter came up to said to Jesus, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Therefore the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold, with his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' Out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, 'Pay what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. They went and reported to the master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant, as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." So remember where we are in Matthew's Gospel. Jesus, God's King, must suffer many things and be killed, but the disciples didn't understand why that is. Any are welcome to come and follow Jesus, but we must follow in the way of the cross, denying self, losing life. Again, the disciples don't get it. They don't realize also what that means, how much this will go against the attitudes and actions of the world around us and even our own. And then we came to Matthew 18. We've seen Jesus has been addressing in particular attitudes towards one another, and especially other believers, that is, those travelling with us on the way of the cross. Do you remember last time Jesus told us what the church is? A people that are marked by reconciliation. And Peter has been listening in to this, and he realises that if there's going to be reconciliation, there's going to need to be forgiveness. And that prompts his question here to Jesus. And in response, Jesus shows Peter and us how forgiveness is at the heart of his kingdom. Well, first we see ridiculous forgiveness. Look down to Peter's question in verse 21. Peter came up and said to Jesus, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Now, in saying this, Peter is probably trying to show off, because forgiving three times was the most really that could be expected, four at a maximum. So by saying seven times, Peter is trying to show Jesus he gets what Jesus is saying. Forgiveness is important. But Jesus responds, verse 22, and said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven," which is utterly ridiculous. Surely no one can forgive and forgive when they are being wronged again and again and again. Certainly not 70 times 7, which might be 77 times. The question is, why does Jesus choose that number in particular, 77? Well, for those who knew their scriptures, it would bring to mind Lamech. Do you remember we heard about him in our Old Testament reading from Genesis 4? So remember the context, Genesis 1 and 2, creation, Genesis 3, the fall when Adam and Eve rebelled against their creator. And of course, from that point onwards, now humanity is spiraling into the consequences of sin. So we turn to Genesis 4. First of all, Cain murders his brother, Abel. We read on, a descendant of Cain is Lamech. And we find out he also killed a man. But he justifies it. He explains it to his wife by saying, well, if Cain's revenge was sevenfold, his, Lamech's, would be 77-fold. Genesis is showing us what the world looks like when humanity has rebelled against its creator. It is a place full of vengeance. And how true that is. We see it, don't we, all around us here in London. It's the gang culture. But even in the office, that grudge that is nursed. And of course, families split, maybe for months or even years or even decades. Well, in this world of vengeance, Jesus says, we, his people, must forgive 77 times. That is in complete contrast to those around us. This will stand out. Vengeance in the world, his people, the church, marked by forgiveness. And of course, we all agree, don't we? Forgiveness is so attractive, it's so desirable, it's so laudable. In principle, the problem is, isn't it, when we are wronged. Maybe someone has committed a serious sin against us. Or it may be, in a sense, not that serious, but they just don't stop doing it. They know it's wrong, and we just can't take it anymore. Whatever it is, we see that person, the anger rises. We want to say something, and maybe we do, whether to them or to somebody else. More than that, we actually want to do something. We want to lash out. We want to get even. But that's the world's way of vengeance. But the question is, what can actually break the cycle? How can the church be marked by different, ongoing, repeated forgiveness? Well, that's what Jesus has laid down here. And he knows how much of a challenge it is. So he follows it up with this parable. And we go on to see unimaginable forgiveness. So we're introduced to this king. He's owed 10,000 talents by his servant. Now that is a huge amount of money. 10,000 was the largest numeral the Greeks used at the time. And a talent was the largest amount of currency. So you can see the point. It's as big as you can imagine. If you actually worked it out, it would take this servant around 10 million working days to pay it off. So if you like, to say he owned 10,000 talents is like saying he owed a bazillion pounds. There is simply no way he could even begin to repay this kind of debt. So the master could never recover that debt, but all the same, verse 25, he orders that the servant is to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, so that at least some, maybe token payment, could be made. Not surprisingly, verse 26, the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. Now that is a laughable thing to say, it's ridiculous. The servant could never ever pay back this debt, however patient that master proved to be. Verse 27, and out of pity for him, the master of the servant released him and forgave him the debt. That phrase, out of pity for him, doesn't really begin to convey the attitude the master has just demonstrated. Better to say, really, this master was moved with compassion from the heart for his servant. It is astonishing. And imagine the indebted servant hearing those words in that moment, this crushing debt covered. the weight lifted, his life transformed. And of course, Jesus speaks this parable to help us see our situation more clearly. Our sin is such, we have run up this sort of debt before God. We can't even begin to repay it. Of ourselves, we are drowning in sin. We're about to go under. We are in a hopeless, dangerous, desperate situation. Our future is very bleak. But that expression, out of pity, moved with compassion from the heart, has actually already been used in Matthew's Gospel a few times to describe Jesus. Do you remember when Jesus saw the crowds, the people? He saw them harassed and helpless. He had compassion on them. He was moved and he acted. And of course, it's that heart full of compassion, which is why Jesus has said he will suffer and die. The point is, our debt was so great we could never repay it. So if we are to be forgiven, Jesus knows he has to go that way of the cross. He must pay that ransom for many in full. No other way. But of course, because of Jesus, we are like that servant. We can stand forgiven. It is unimaginable forgiveness. But the parable isn't yet over, because along with this unimaginable forgiveness, we also must see refusing forgiveness. So we've reached verse 28. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe." So now it's 100 denarii, that's about 3 months' wages. Of course, not an insignificant amount, and yet, you could say next to nothing, trivial even, compared to the 10,000 talents. And yet we find this servant demanded what he was owed. Verse 29, "So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.'" Did you notice how the language this fellow servant uses is almost exactly the same as the first servant used with the king? So surely we might think, as the first servant hears these words, which he himself used not long ago, it would be obvious how to respond. Verse 30, "He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt." Well, no wonder the rest of the servants were distressed when they heard this. Understandably, they reported back to the master what had happened. Verse 32, "Then his master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?'" Notice now the language of the king. It's that of mercy. That is what the king had shown to that servant. That in turn is what the first servant should have shown to his fellow servant. And of course, as we listen in, it's sharpening it for us as well. The language of mercy is pointing us to the conclusion we are meant to be drawing. What we have been shown, if we've received forgiveness, is astonishing mercy. And if we've grasped that, then we will likewise show mercy and forgive others. But not this servant. So, verse 34, "And in anger his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt." Now here the word for jailers is a bit weak really. Jesus says torturers. He delivered him to those who would torture him. That is what this servant is going to face. And of course, because he can never repay the debt, that torture will last forever. Having just heard that, Jesus then drives the point home, verse 35. "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." That is a shocking verse, isn't it? God forgives bountifully, but he does also punish ruthlessly. Notice how Jesus holds those two together with no embarrassment at all. God's forgiveness is on offer to all, and it's wonderful. But the mark of someone who has grasped the wonder of that forgiveness is that we in turn will extend that forgiveness to others. We'll forgive our brothers and sisters even 77 times. Jesus is saying, don't you see, forgiveness matters. That's to be the mark of Jesus' people in this world full of vengeance. And actually, Jesus has said much about it already in Matthew's Gospel. In the Lord's Prayer, every time we pray, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And when Jesus says that in the Sermon on the Mount, he immediately follows it up by saying this: if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Is there yet again this principle? Do you remember the Beatitude at the start of the Sermon on the Mount? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Well, and so we continue then on the way of the cross with Jesus. It's a wonderful way because it's a way of forgiveness. Forgiveness for us. That is why Jesus had to die. That crushing debt we could never repay, lifted and taken away. And yet those who've grasped that, who know God as Father, who realize that we have received what otherwise would be impossible, this forgiveness, will then forgive others from the heart. It won't make forgiveness easy, I think that's assumed here. But as and when we do forgive, it will show to one another and to this vengeful world the difference it makes to know God, to be in his family, a family marked by forgiveness. Let's pray as we close. Father, we do ask that you'd help us to grasp the seriousness of our sin, and so the wonder that Jesus would go to the cross that we might be forgiven. Help us to see what Jesus is teaching here, that it must follow that we would now forgive others. And so we ask for your help to do that. For Jesus' sake. Amen.